KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Fresno State Focus Radio Edition. I'm Edith Gomez.
And I'm Brennan Black. Today on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we look at traveling nurses, life after graduation, and Fresno State farm tours.
I'm Celeste Slopes. As the weather starts to heat up, it's time to think about ways to stay safe on those hot summer days.
As Fresno gears up for summer fun, it is important to be prepared for the heat that comes along with it. According to the CDC, more than 700 people die from heat-related illness each year. With California contributing 200 to the total, Rebecca Colbert spoke with a nurse practitioner and an athletic trainer about how to prevent heat-related illness and what to do if you start showing symptoms.
Dennis Osenya, a nurse practitioner with Osenya Health Connect and former ER nurse, says that when you start to feel weak or weighed down, to take a break.
Once you start noticing that you're just not producing much sweat anymore, you know, you either got to get rehydrated, you know, and it has to be a little bit actually more than just water. Water is important, but without you're losing a ton of electrolytes, because when the emergency department, things that we're checking is electrolytes when somebody comes in for heat exposure.
Even if you're well hydrated, Osenya says that direct exposure to the sun is the most common way people get heat-related illness. Wearing long sleeves and a hat may seem unthinkable, but Osenya says that the sweat you produce combined with the shade of the clothing can keep you from getting sick.
So a lot of people like to wear less clothes, but sometimes if you know you're going to be on the heat, it's better to cover up more than take off more layers, in a sense.
That's won by Savannah Fitzgerald.
David Holford, an athletic trainer with Fresno City, says that when heat-related illness does happen, it becomes a game of patience and diligence. One of the measures they take to reduce an athlete's temperature during heat stroke is to place them in an ice bath, which they're required to be in for a minimum of 20 minutes.
But I heard of a case where a football player in Alabama suffered heat stroke. He survived, but he lost 70 pounds and went through kidney and liver failure after it because he wasn't kept in long enough.
Holford says there is a responsibility in part of leaders of outdoor activities to make sure they check the weather with the right tools. Though your phone may tell you one temperature, the wet bulb thermometer Holford uses accounts for environmental factors like humidity and how strong the UV rays are.
And I had to shorten practice a little bit, and all the guys on the team were like, how is it only 88 degrees and we're having to shorten up practice? And I had to explain to them everything, and they go, oh, okay, so it's 110 right now, but because the humidity is just high enough, that type of thing.
Osenya says even if you are prepared, it's better to be safe than sorry. If you feel off, call 911 immediately.
If you feel like something is not right or they are not acting themselves all of a sudden, just call and get a trained professional who is out of this situation to come and evaluate.
Whatever you plan to do over the summer, remember that the heat isn't going anywhere in the Central Valley. Rebecca Colbert, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
So I don't know about you guys, but I don't really drink that much water. I know I should be drinking more water. How about you guys?
I drink a lot of water. I have my water bottle with me all day, every day.
I really need to be better about drinking water. I think I'm going to start carrying my water bottle with me just a bit more. Nursing is a career focused on caring for others. For many, it's an opportunity to live in diverse countries, help in hospitals, and care for the sick. Jonna Giraldo spoke with Ruchi Alba about her nearly 40 years of experience in nursing.
62-year-old Ruchi Alba has been a registered nurse since 1982, a career that has led her across the world. During her early years in the Philippines, Alba said she was influenced by her parents. Her father was a doctor and her mother was a midwife.
At first, my dad didn't really want me to take up nursing. Actually, he wanted me to be a doctor because as an eldest in the family, then he wanted me to follow him. So I did start. I started for a year. I started to study medical technology as my preparatory for nursing. But I said, I can't do this. I just want to give care. So that's why I shifted to nursing.
She started off working as her dad's assistant and later worked at the hospital she graduated from. The opportunity came when Alba heard that a friend from Saudi Arabia was going to visit to recruit nurses. She was recruited for the job.
So I stayed in Saudi Arabia for almost 3 years, 2 years and 7 months. It was during the first Gulf War, which was so very scary.
Alba remained in Saudi Arabia from 1989 to 1992, returning to the Philippines for another year and a half before continuing on to Abu Dhabi in 1994, working in a military hospital in an adult ward. She worked in Abu Dhabi until 2001 and found another opportunity to work in England and remained there until 2006.
Then why did I come to America? Actually, I had no plans in coming to America. America was not one of my plans.
Alba wanted to challenge herself and take the NCLEX exams, the national exams to become a registered nurse in the United States.
Thankfully, luckily I passed, so that's why I ended up here in America. And now I've been here for almost 16 years. I'll be 16 years in June, and I love it here.
Alba now works in the neonatal intensive care unit at Valley Children's Hospital and said gaining experience in different hospitals internationally has been rewarding.
You can see the different culture of the people, the different people that you met, and the different, you know, the policies in the hospital. You could really see that there's a big difference.
Alba still works within the NICU, and she encourages anyone who has a passion for healthcare to truly have a heart for the career.
The care that you would give would be really, really fulfilling in your life. Like, you did something good. Like, when you retire, you would think that, I did something good, thank God. Like, yeah, I am encouraging young ones to do that. But you do it by heart.
Nursing takes passion and is filled with opportunity. For Alba, after traveling from the Philippines to Saudi Arabia, England, and then the United States, it has been a very rewarding and fulfilling career. This has been Jonna Giraldo for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
You know, with practices such as nursing, it's no wonder people will go to such great lengths to be able to care for others. Like the person we saw in our story, will go all over the world just to be able to do a practice that they know is going to help people that may not have such fortunate lives.
Yeah, I think becoming a nurse is just a challenge that I don't think I could ever do.
Definitely an underrated job. In a lot of ways, our voices are us. While it is not the only defining factor, it is how a lot of us convey ourselves and our emotions. Speech pathologists help give a voice to the voiceless or just aid in overall speech. Reporter Holden Wheeler has more.
Let's do barkey. Barkey. Perfect.
Speech pathology is one of those professions that isn't very well known. So unless you've had experience with one or just happen to know somebody else who is one, they tend to fly under the radar, which may lead you to ask what gets someone like Melissa Brazil, a graduate student here at Fresno State, into the pipeline to become one.
I took a personality test in high school, and then I just started looking into it, and I realized that I really liked the idea of working with kids, but maybe not enough to be a teacher.
A simple personality test may be what got her interested in the profession, but the impact that she can make on someone's life keeps her invested.
Let's try that again.
A lot of what goes into speech therapy is repetition. So when you're repeating and giving them that feedback and they're learning and then they finally get that word right, it's really exciting, not only for them, but also for us.
Seeing all this progression from her students leads to a lot of rewarding moments.
Seeing them not only use those sentences in person, like in the therapy room, but generalizing it out into the playground or in the classroom, because that's the main goal. So I get really excited when parents come up to me after a session and will say that what we're doing is really helping them and they've noticed a difference.
That was great. Good job.
As a speech pathologist, they can be asked to wear many hats. A lot of that depends on the placement, needing to know a mind-boggling amount of information to fit and apply to each person that they're working with.
In schools, you'll probably see a lot more articulation errors, like kids can't say their R's, or like their K sounds, or maybe language, like their past tense or their future tense, their grammar, things like that. But if you move into a hospital setting, you'll see more like stroke patients, Parkinson's.
With all the possibilities on where her career can take her, Melissa is looking forward to one thing the most.
I'm really excited to graduate and start actually working and having my own clients and just having more of that freedom and getting to try out things that I think will benefit the child instead of what a professor might want me to do.
It is thanks to people like Melissa Brazil that those who struggle with their own voice have a fighting chance. For Fresno State Focus, Holden Wheeler.
Holden was right. Speech pathologists do wear a lot of hats. I can't imagine doing what they do every day.
Many inner-city elementary school students don't know much about life on the farm. Fresno State's Office of Agriculture Education and Animal Science has been working with these schools to help get students this exposure. Since March, agriculture students have been conducting farm tours for students in kindergarten all the way to fourth grade from schools across the valley. I spoke with several members of the farm tour team to get different perspectives on the students and what they get out of these experiences.
Fresno State Farm Tour Coordinator Alexa Bell provided some insight into what goes into these farm tours.
So it's elementary students coming to Fresno State, usually between kindergarten and third grade, to go on the campus farm, and they go to the sheep unit, the dairy unit, the swine unit, the beef unit, and the horse unit, and they get exposed to all different aspects of animal production.
One of the tour guides, Margarita Dimitriou, was able to provide some of her perspective on how these tours tend to go with these students.
It's very exciting for the kids. I feel like it's sometimes hard to maintain the excitement, and there's a lot of questions. I feel like sometimes when I don't talk as much, the kids just take it away. They go about asking their questions, and it's usually pretty good questions, and I pretty much answer.
Margarita went on to explain some of the questions that she gets from students as they continue through the units.
I get a lot of the questions at the sheep unit, so why we clip them and why they follow each other. I got that today. And I think the dairy unit, they ask me about the baby cows a lot, the pigs, if they like mud. It's pretty funny. Most of the times it's these kinds of questions.
Alexa concludes today by explaining some of the things that these students learn on their tours.
So I think the best part about the tours is most of the students don't see animals before they come out, or they don't have any prior experience. And so it's a great way to introduce them to the farm and to different animals. So maybe one day they'll want to come to Fresno State to work on the farm or be an animal science major. And so hopefully it's just planting a seed in them to make them want to be involved in agriculture one day.
It's always fun seeing a person's first time on the farm. Seeing them get excited over the cows never gets old.
Technology these days has made it easier for us to read just about anything and find information fast. In many cases, faster than sitting in front of an old-fashioned book. But as Mary Hernandez tells us, not everyone enjoys looking at a digital screen.
Books have always been something everyone enjoys, but with today's technology, hard copy books have been selling less these days, and digital books sales have risen.
I mean, when you're having to pay like $110 for just one textbook compared to like $20 for a novel that you're going to read like probably more than once throughout the year, I would say is more convenient, because if I'm going to spend like close to like $100 on one textbook that I'm not even going to need for the rest of my years of college, I'd rather prefer to just buy an ebook that's only like $20-$30 to use for the full year.
The cost of books also affects a student's choice on how they decide whether they will be buying the physical book or the digital copy of a textbook required for their class.
Okay, I actually don't mind the ebooks. Only thing is that it's a lot cheaper. Coming from a perspective of someone that doesn't get FAFSA or any, like, you know, financial help, ebooks are actually a lot cheaper and a lot affordable for me. So when it comes to having to buy books, it's easier just to get the online version of them. So then I'm able to use them faster and easier, and it's less expensive.
Students prefer digital due to the convenience of not having to carry heavy books.
I mean, if you're already carrying more than one, like, notebook and everything, just having that extra weight in your backpack every day is not ideal.
Either way, there's still an appreciation for physical copies than digital ones.
When it comes to like casual reading, I tend to get more physical books. I have a lot more physical books than I do ebooks.
Mary Hernandez, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
I honestly prefer the physical copy. I don't like reading on a digital. I feel like it gives me a headache.
I agree. I definitely like the feel of the book in my hand and turning the pages.
Yeah, I'm also a nerd for the paper books, so I'll always stick to that if I can.
Graduation is less than 2 weeks away. The last few months leading up to graduation are full of uncertainty and excitement for students depending on their plans for this new chapter. I spoke with Elizabeth Neves about her plans after graduation.
For the last year, I have been attending school full-time and working for a dairy in Riverdale. After graduation, I will be working for Worldwide Sires as the advertising and public relations intern. I will start my internship 3 days after graduation. My internship is only 3 months long, and I will be commuting to Visalia 5 days a week, and I will be working in 8 to 5. After my internship, I hope to use my degree to pursue a career within the dairy industry somewhere back home in the Hilmar-Turlock area.
I also spoke with graduating senior Lauren McDevitt from Gilroy about her plans after graduation.
After graduation, I'll be going full-time for a company called Saddlebook that I work part-time for right now. I'm their creative content and media strategist, and I'll be traveling with them to events, helping them run rodeos and barrel races across the country. So I'd use Saddlebook as a rider competing in barrel races. So I was very familiar with the company, and through a few different friends, I heard that they were looking to expand their team. Since I had such good experiences with it, using it as a rider, I was really interested in getting involved and learning more about what they were looking for. I know, like, my biggest career goal after graduation is elevating the rodeo industry, so I believed in the company, and so I knew I wanted to reach out to them, so I sent them my resume, and then we met, and the rest is history. I'm gonna stay until my lease is up in Fresno, and then after that, I'm gonna load up my horse and travel wherever they need me to go for events. Yeah, it's really unknown right now. I haven't done a lot of traveling, so I just kind of want to experience a few different areas before finding out where I'm going to stay.
Graduating from college is a bittersweet feeling. The transition from being a full-time student and working a part-time job to now starting a full-time job is difficult to adapt to. Good luck to all Fresno State seniors with their future endeavors, and remember, go Dawgs!
Are either of you two graduating, and what are your plans afterwards?
I am graduating and still hunting for either a job or an internship. It's definitely a stressful time for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same path. I'm not sure where I'm heading, but I'm excited to graduate already.
So I'm actually not graduating this semester. I will be walking, but I won't graduate until the end of next semester. So I've got a little bit more time than you two.
The Fresno State Focus TV reporting class is putting the final touches on the last newscast of the semester. James Mora spoke with some of the graduating students to hear their thoughts on what they plan to do next.
Graduation day is almost here for Fresno State students. It's a time to catch a break and think about where to go next. However, for Carl Cook, he won't be getting a break.
The first thing I have to take care of is take care of my wedding. That's a few weeks after the graduation, so I get like no easy breeze or anything. I have to focus on, you know, that, getting that taken care of. And once that's done, you know, focus on what's next. You know, my career is to be an anchor, specifically for a sports media like ESPN or Fox Sports. But, you know, you always have to work your way from the ground up.
Working from the ground up is what Alexis Molina is doing. She is currently interning with ESPN Radio.
Sat in on shows, listened to them, sat in during games, heard about the commentating, how to write articles for them. I've done commercials with them, which is really fun, but I've learned a lot with them. They've taught me all the ins and outs, let me make mistakes so I could learn from them. They didn't tell me what to do, they just let me do it until I failed and learned.
Making mistakes is just part of the learning experience. Tyler Van Dyke would not change the learning experience.
Just like a newsroom would be in the real world, I feel like. There's a lot of chaos that we had to go through and a lot of things of getting your scripts in on time, doing video, editing your videos right, doing the right sound bites, doing the right audio for your sound bites. That's a big one. And yeah, it's just, you know, you learn a lot and it's been a great experience. I really enjoyed doing this, and Fresno State Focus is always going to be a part of me.
Fresno State Focus is just the first step on their long journey to their future careers. James Mora, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
You can watch all of their newscasts on FresnoStateFocus.com. Focus will be back next semester with fresh new faces.
The Fresno State football team begins its preparations for the new season early in the spring. Every year they welcome new recruits. And as Abraham Montano tells us in the last practice of spring ball, fans have a chance to go see and get a taste of what is to come in the fall.
The Fresno State football team hardly has any time off. They spend their spring semester in class, lifting and running, and eventually they get to put the pads on. They say championship teams are built in the spring.
The spring ball is important for us to be able to mess with the new staff as well as get all the kinks out before the season starts. And I think it'll be a great opportunity for us to show what we have.
Spring football is where every player is looking to make a case in all phases to be a starter come fall.
I do not take any moments for granted, our relationships for granted.
When the Pats come out, the Dogs go to work. Tyler Mello is a sophomore born in Hanford. In 2020, he was named Special Teams Player of the Year, and in 2021, injuries held him back from making an impact on the field. But now, he's healthy and looking to make a statement to the new staff.
Spring ball gave me an opportunity to improve on my skills and improve my position in the depth chart, as well as learn the defense better.
The team is building a winning culture by competing versus themselves daily.
The fans left the spring preview with an idea that our team is balanced. We have players on both sides of the ball that can contribute. And we have players that will take us all the way.
The spring game showcased it all to the fans and gave them a taste of what's to come in the fall. In Fresno, Abraham Montaño, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
Fresno State fans should be excited after the bright sparks both the offense and defense displayed at Bulldog Stadium. The fall 22 season can't come any sooner.
Baseball season is back, with Fresno State still playing their regular season games and the MLB getting their season started only a few weeks ago. There's a lot being thrown around. Kevin Hernandez takes us to Bob Bennett Stadium and Pete Biden Field and asks just how our Dogs feel about baseball's return.
I'll be talking to a few of Fresno State's baseball players about all things baseball, from how it influenced their lives, what to look forward to for the rest of the season, and more. One of the players I chatted with was catcher Zach Morgan. So what are a few of your goals for the rest of the season?
So our goals for the remainder of the season, we are looking to win a conference championship. That is the biggest thing. We're set out, we got our sights set on that ring. And then once we win that ring, we're trying to go into the conference tournament and win the conference tournament to end up in a regional. That's been our goal since day one, and we've really worked towards that. So we're committed to that, and that's our goal for the rest of the season.
How has baseball affected your life as a whole?
Baseball has been, you know, a huge impact on my life. I've been playing it since 3 years old. I think that it's really shown me how to work with others, communicating, teamwork, all those good things. And it's also shown me how to, you know, grow up and play a sport and manage that task along with doing just regular life tasks.
Also, pitcher Jake Dixon let me know how he feels about baseball being back outside of the collegiate level.
You know, with MLB being back and the lockout being over, it's fun to watch MLB baseball again. You can learn a lot from them, and it's just fun to watch.
Lastly, I chatted with pitcher Robbie Peters. Do you have any favorite moments from your time on the team?
So my favorite baseball moment is just kind of a montage of moments, but it's the little things that, you know, the general population doesn't see. Like the bonding I do with my teammates, you know, playing spike ball out here on the field, going to the weight room sessions, all those things. Kind of the camaraderie and the bonding with my teammates is probably the best thing about the game.
Anything else you want to say to the people listening?
Man, we're about to catch fire. You can feel it. I think everybody in the stands can feel it. The energy's here. We just need the Red Wave to keep coming out and supporting us, and we're going to go on a run.
The Bulldogs are currently 11-10 in conference play as of May 3rd. As of the time of this show airing, the Dogs will have exactly 2 weeks left in normal conference play. Wishing the best for our baseball team, Kevin Hernandez, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
With less than a month left in the normal season, the Diamond Dogs are looking to finish their season strong. As for the MLB, we don't know how things are going to go this early. So for now, just sit back, crack open some seeds, and enjoy the return of America's pastime.
It's an exciting and scary time for high school seniors. It's the time of the year where seniors have to decide their next steps. Whether it's university, community college, the military, or anything else, the time to decide is now. Fresno State is becoming an increasingly popular choice for high school seniors. Alexis Breen spoke with Desert High School senior Kirsten Baldwin to learn why she is choosing to continue her education at Fresno State this fall.
Decision Day for high school seniors has just taken place on May 1st. Decision Day is a nationwide event in which high school seniors commit to their respective colleges. Kirsten Baldwin gave us an insight on how she made her decision.
So for this year specifically, my mind has changed about 20 to 100 times.
Kirsten is not the only one feeling this way. Deciding where to spend your next years after high school is a super stressful time, and many students struggle with choosing somewhere to go. Kirsten has decided to attend Fresno State in the fall. She let us in on what led her to that decision.
I couldn't decide if I wanted to go into the military, so I was weighing in, okay, I'm going to apply to schools that have ROTC. but I don't want to apply to a school that it requires me to do ROTC. So Fresno is a better pick for, you know, there's a bunch of human resources, PR, ASB, clubs that I enjoy doing at school anyway. So if I wanted to take a different route, I would be able to. And they have more of a community and opportunity for student life, especially in your freshman year. So I found that really cool.
There were so many things Kirsten liked about Fresno State, but she said what stuck out to her the most was the community on campus.
I want to be able to have a home away from home. I don't want a school that's so big that I don't know people from anywhere, even if I try. And being a social person, I believe that I'll be able to like engage with a lot of people there.
Moving away from home and starting somewhere new can be really scary. A home away from home is something many students look for in a school. With the stressful times of trying to figure out what to do next coming to an end, good luck to all of the graduating seniors. I'm Alexis Breen, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
Wherever these students land, their future will definitely be an exciting one.
And that wraps up our show for the week.
Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faith Sidlow for the Department of Media, Communications, and Journalism.
Our stories and interviews are produced and edited by Rebecca Colbert, Jonna Giraldo, Holden Wheeler, Brendan Black, Mary Hernandez, Celeste Lopes, James Mora, Abraham Montaño, and Kevin Hernandez.
Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR with Edith Gomez and Celeste Lopes. I'm Brendan Black. Have a great morning.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.